Okay, good morning, everybody. How's it going? Are we ready? last week, I was reminded that I'm kind of new here, so like I should maybe introduce myself. A few people came up to me, and it was great, and asked me, like, are you at the right church? Who are you? And so my name is Jeremy Goche, and I've been coming here a couple years now. Let's see, I work for Blake Kell primarily over on the production and music team in the tech area, but I'm also pursuing pastoral development here, so I get to teach and just work with the other pastors and their kind of responsibilities, and so I'm just having a blast. I love Sun River. You guys are stuck with me, and just I love teaching God's Word. I graduated from seminary recently and have usually worked in street ministries for about the last 10 years that I've been a Christian. So that's why I always say I'm kind of used to a raucous sort of classroom, so don't be shy. Throw at me whatever you want. I'm kind of used to it. Not actual throw, but throw questions at me. Yeah, put down the pins and staplers. But yeah, so it's my joy to get the privilege to come over and teach whenever, and just I call myself the DH pastor right now, so I'm like the designated hitter. I get to enter in when other people.
Are you a musician?
I'm not. Okay. That's why Blake works primarily in the front with the musicians, and I work primarily in the back with the people you probably don't even know are doing so much during service with the PowerPoint slides or Pro Presenter and the mixer and the lights and all that stuff. Yes. Hey. Oh.
Where are these?
They're over. So, yeah, another thing, I love your guys' suggestions and stuff, and one of them was handouts last week. So I put together a handout that would complement what we're
anybody
learning
else
here.
Someone?
And they are over there on the table if you didn't get one. With pens and stuff. Thanks, Rebecca. Rather than grabbing them. What else? Oh, another suggestion last week was that perhaps I could make the fonts bigger. So hopefully this is bigger, and the contrast between the background and the words was a little blurry or something. So I tried to do this very big and bright, and so let me know this week how things go, okay? I love your guys' feedback. Oh, and your handout definition. So if the purpose of prayer is God's glory, is that consistent with everything else? Like, an old saying is the chief end or the ultimate aim we can have in life is to bring glory to God. John Piper says the chief end of man is to glorify God and be satisfied in Him. We were created to bring glory to God. And we were created to live for Him, to know Him, to walk with Him. And so when everything about our life is consistent with what we are created to do, we will find satisfaction and joy and purpose in life. And so some of these texts just kind of support that. Psalm 29:1-2 says, "Ascribe to the Lord, O heavenly beings, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord glory due His name. Worship the Lord and splendor of holiness." Psalm 145 says, "The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. The Lord is good to all, and His mercy is over all that He has made. All your work shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and your saints shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and tell of your power." And so now we're getting into the communication of God's glory. We speak of the glory of His kingdom and tell of His power. Isaiah 43 is just supportive of what we're created for. Isaiah 43 says, "Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made." God is speaking, and He's saying He created His people for His glory. 1 Corinthians 10:31,
whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. And Romans 11:36, for from him and through him and to him are all things, to him be the glory. Amen. Forever. Amen. Yeah. And just, I mean, just a side note, when this is your mindset, when you wake up in the morning, what am I going to do? How am I going to bring glory to God? How are my prayers glorifying God? How is my opportunity to go to my job? How am I going to glorify God there? I got a paycheck today. How can I glorify God with my money? How can I steward it well to bring glory to God? We were created to think like that. And when you do, you have a peace in life. You're just walking with your God in the way that he designed you. Before we are saved and made right with him and have peace with him, we were inverted in everything, in our design. We went inward. We were self-centered. We were living for ourselves and worshiping created things. When we are born again, we're spun right back up, right? So we can think in a way and act in a way, live in a way that's consistent with our intentional, our original design. And so God's prayers fall into this. But these texts are just showing whether you do the simplest thing. Are you doing it for the glory of God, whether you're eating or drinking, anything, whatever you're doing? So now narrowing down, how can we implement? Oh, that was question one. Everyone get that? How should we glorify God by according to these texts? And so, yeah, question 1A was pretty much like pull from here different ways that you can glorify God. And it's so vague. I mean, I just spouted off a lot, but eating, drinking, talking, proclaiming, walking, speaking, all these ways you can do in a way that glorifies God. Is your language glorifying to God? Are your friendships...
So does not come naturally. Like, I have to, after I'm disciplining to help me to learn how to glorify God.
Yeah.
It's not a natural... Even though we're born to glorify God, we're born sinners, and it's like this...
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, and sometimes you catch yourself later being caught up in a conversation that may not be egregiously sinful, but it's just, this is a waste of air. Why am I even talking in this conversation? This is not glorifying to God. This is wasting time. And so you start to just kind of maybe learn later as you go. But yeah, to have that filter before you do anything, It's a learned, progressive behavior and mindset, because we live so long the wrong way. Yes, sir. Cool. Yeah, let your speech always be seasoned with grace. Men will be held in account for every idle word they speak in the day of judgment. And there's a sense of having purpose behind your words with the intent to build up. And just neutral, useless chatter is not what you're aiming for. And yeah, same with me. I just love being around older godly people who've been walking with God for so long and just... You know, they'll pull you to the side and pray with you. Just everything is seasoned with grace and God, and it's glorifying to God. It's encouraging and it's building up. All right, so now we're going to narrow it into implementing God's glory into prayers. And so now we're looking more specifically at prayers, and the Psalms are just a great place to go, because the psalmist, whoever's writing them, is usually talking to God. It's usually a prayer-like, poetic sort of literature. And so Psalm 79, 8 through 9 says, "Don't remember," he's talking to God, he's praying to God, "do not remember against us our former iniquities. Let your compassion come speedily to meet us, for we are brought very low. Help us, O God of our salvation, for the glory of your name. Deliver us and atone for our sins, for your name's sake." And so there's a sense of, we're going to get more, we're going to zero in on this a little bit later, but he is requesting things, but he's not requesting it for the sake of himself. He's requesting these things for the sake of the glory of God and his name. Forgive me, God. Be faithful to me, God, for your name's sake. Make much of yourself through displaying your faithfulness to me. And so it's just implementing this God-glorifying terminology into our prayers. So it's not just asking for things, but the purpose is to bring glory to God. Psalm 23, we know this one. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. So good for me, good for him. What's good for him is good for me, right? So he does this for his name's sake. Do this for your name's sake. Restore me. Give me grace, God, please, to continue on the path you've laid out for me for your name's sake. Psalm 25, similarly, "For your name's sake, O Lord, pardon my guilt, for it is great." This is just a pleading psalmist with God that guilt is heavy. My sin is, I'm aware of my sin, and it's heavy. Lord, for your name's sake, help me. Pardon me. And then Psalm 31:3, "For you are my rock and my fortress, and for your name's sake, you lead me and guide me." And so he's like pointing at certain truths about who God is as his rock and his fortress, and for his name's sake, which includes this stuff, lead me and guide me. And so they're not just empty requests, they're requests with the purpose of making much of God through your life and him entering in. So that's just beginning. And then Jesus modeling in John 14. Okay, I'm not working through the handouts with you guys. Are you good? That's a lot of bouncing around. I don't know what to look at or, yeah. And also, if anyone wants this PowerPoint slide presentation afterwards, I can email it to you. Just let me know. So Jesus in John 14 says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified, and that the Son may glorify you." Be glorified in the Son. "If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it." And so the Son wants you to ask for things so that God will be glorified in the Son. And I'm sure you guys know the text where God says, "I will share my glory with no other." But look at who's sharing the glory with God. This equality with God. The Father-Son relationship, both fully God, yet the Son fully man at this time, praying to the Father, knowing that he is going to glorify his Father. And then John 17 is a prayer. This chapter is a prayer. And he says, in the beginning, when Jesus had spoken these words, he lifted up his eyes to heaven and says, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you. Since you've given him authority over all flesh to eternal life, to give eternal life to all whom you have given him." And again, that relationship is just so beautiful. the Father giving the Son some that he elected, and the Son accomplishing the work the Father sent him to do, and the Spirit applying this redemption and drawing people to the Son, and in him you can have relationship with the Father. Just the Trinity is beautiful. But glorify your Son that the Son may glorify you. And this glory Jesus is talking about is the cross. And we are all called to take up our cross. Not for our own glory, but for the glory of God. And so we unite and identify with Christ in the same way.
Jeremy?
Yes, sir.
I'm just noticing how we talk to Jesus and talk to God like Jesus does. We talk to the same God that is his Father, and then he talks to same way. I noticed how he's getting away by himself a lot and praying to the Father. And his requests are no different than ours. Well, they are different because they're coming from him.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, this is great.
Yeah. It's wonderful. We can talk to our Father because of the Son and the work he did. And because we're indwelt with the Spirit, we can have faith and pray through the Son with the Father. We're going to look at Hebrews here in a little bit too, which is amazing. It kind of hits on that point too.
That John 17 was my favorite prayer that we talked about last week. It was amazing. Like, that's by far.
Yeah. Yeah. He's praying to the Father, and he's praying to the Father for the people that the Father gave him to save and find. And he even says, the son of perdition, who is destined not to, but all those that you've given me I've protected and kept. Right? And just continues on, like, continue to be with them. Do not take them out of the world, but protect them while they're in the world. And then at the end of the chapter, he talks about not only these, Father, but all those who will believe because of their message, and which is us. And so Jesus is talking to the Father about all his people forever to come through the message of those apostles that he protected and discipled and kept. And it's just a wonderful chapter. And here's some other examples of implementing God's glory into prayers. Some of them we kind of read in the last one, but just to sum up, God delivers us for his name's sake. For his name's sake. He blots out our transgressions for his own sake, for his name's sake. He leads us in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He does not forsake his people for his great name's sake. He's faithful for his name's sake. He cannot deny himself. He is faithful. God gets the glory for prayers in Jesus' name because we are his purchased people by grace. And that's John 14 and 17. But is this, so I guess my goal is to show how our requests and prayers can bring glory to God. It does not terminate on us, right? Our prayers are upward, and then we're asking for him to have tremendous influence in our current experience, but it's for his name's sake. So he can make much of himself through our pleas and requests. Yes.
One of the things that I love about prayer is that we're not only, doing things for his name's sake, but when we struggle with that, we are able to pray that he helps us glorify him.
Mm.
So it's that circle of we do things to glorify him, but when we struggle to do those things, everything, like you were talking about, doing everything the glory of God, we can ask for his help
Yeah.
In that, by prayer, we can talk to him and ask for his help in glorifying him.
Yeah. Like Ariane was talking about, we catch ourselves a little later, like not having glorifying conversations, and we talk to him about that. We confess that and ask him to help us in that area. Yeah. And and believe me, God is most about himself because he is the most worthy person and thing to be about. And so when you are most about him, you are most on the same track he is on. Right? God is about his glory. And so when we are too, he loves to answer those prayers. If our prayers are legitimately to glorify him, even through requests and desires, then he is excited to answer that because it is glorifying to him. And so God, help me think about how I'm thinking. And if I really am supremely concerned about your glory or my own, my comfort, my ease, my wants. Do I want these things for a better life, or do I want these things to bring glory to you, to show that you provide, that you care, that you're faithful? And you can really wrestle a lot through that. I'm kind of doing it openly right now, but God's about himself, glorifying himself, and if we are too, then I'm sure that is a most pleasing prayer and hope for him. So, aspects of purposeful prayer. If all of them are to glorify God, if our main goal of our prayers is to glorify God, the main goal of our life is to glorify God, then what are some aspects of prayers and how do those glorify God? And one big aspect you see often in Scripture is the prayer of fellowship. And again, Psalm 23, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. For you are with me, God. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And Psalm 27, David in this psalm is just surrounded by an army. That, Pam, we talked about this last week. I was thinking of you as I looked at this because exactly what you said, one thing I asked of the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. He may get broken in on and killed at any moment, and this is what he's writing and thinking. It's a beautiful psalm, but just his aim, his one hope is to be with the Lord, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord. Psalm 42 is a psalmist whose soul is downcast and disquieted within him. Psychologists would call him depressed these days. They'd probably prescribe him something, but he knows the prescription to his depression is hope in God, for he knows he will again rejoice in him. But he's describing his experience as a deer who's panting for flowing streams. So he's panting, his soul is panting for God, and thirsting, my soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before him? And just a colorful, illustrative way of saying he wants God's presence because he is downcast and his soul is disquieted and he's depressed and he is pleading with God for fellowship, for him to meet near. And then Psalm 63, oh God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you. As in a dry and weary land where there is no water. So I have looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and glory.
So this is more geared to fellowship with God, not necessarily fellowship with other believers, like in the church.
Yeah.
One thing I hear a lot from people that I'm talking to about Jesus is, I believe in God, I just don't believe in going to church or organized religion. They don't understand like the importance of fellowship And as I learn and grow, I'm sure I'll come up with things to say to them about that. But.
Yeah. No, I'm looking for 1 John 1:3 says, "That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us." And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, His Son, Jesus Christ. So there's a sense of where our fellowship is in Christ. There, it's only, He is what brings us together in fellowship. It's in Him that we have fellowship. So listen again. We've seen and heard and proclaim Him to you, John is saying, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son. So, yeah, those people, they're missing the key ingredient that apart from that, you can't have fellowship with people, Christians. Our fellowship is in the Son. It's with the Father. It's because we're saved and united with Him. And in Him, we can have fellowship with one another. As a Christian, I mean, you're like me. You have a long track record of not being a Christian. There's different sorts of fellowship you have as a Christian, right? Because in those other realms, there is something that brings you together. But as a Christian, what brings us together is Christ. And so without Him, there is no fellowship, but there is a greater fellowship with Him. And so fellowship is kind of like a uniting, a communing, a community with a single goal and effort and focus. Our goal on Sundays is to glorify God corporately, to worship Him together in song and hearing the word preached and one another ministry with each other. And so that's all in Him, and we come together for that goal. And we are refreshed in Him every Sunday, right? So we can go out. Yes?
I was just going to feed that note you're out there. Hebrews 10:25, he said, you got to know what it is, Dave. What verse is it? Touch him with the, it says, do not give up being together as some are in the habit of doing.
Yeah.
It's so important.
Yeah.
As she was saying, people come to her and say, I just don't believe in the church. It's like, well, it's not a thing of believing. It's, you got to be encouraging others by being there.
Yeah. I would say I can't not go to church. It's where I need to go. You know, like, I have plenty of those. I've heard those too. And the church is the bride of Christ. How do you think you're going to meet Him one day and say, you're cool, but I didn't really like your bride, you know? Really? Oh, man. Just completely missing it.
And it's family. This is my family.
Yeah. Better than our, yeah, right. Mine, yeah.
Yes.
Thank God for this family. Yeah. David, hey, Hebrews 10, right? I just, on the notion of fellowship, which you can also say communing with God, right? Meeting with God, communing with Him, seeking His presence by faith through prayer and in His Word. But this is the only reason, this is kind of what David's talking about, this is the only reason we can have fellowship with God. Hebrews 4 says, since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with us, with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we, yet without sin. And so this is our charge to let us then, since that is true prior, let us then, with confidence, draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace and to help in time of need. And so this is, He is our mediator. He is our high priest. He is our advocate. He takes our prayers to the Father. He talks to the Father on our behalf. And because of Him, we can with confidence draw near to the throne of grace whenever that we may receive mercy and find grace. And Hebrews 10, right before the text David was talking about, says, "Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence now to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is through his flesh, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." So there's a sense of, because of Christ, don't ever lose sight of that. That's the, in Jesus' name, that's the, we are always, our minds are set on Jesus, our representative, our, the second Adam, the fulfillment of all the promises. The reason we have peace with God is now through him, the work he's done, his blood, his sacrifice. By faith, we can now meet with God with confidence anytime. That's just a little sub-note. Can't do this without, the most glorifying part of prayer is that the Son made it possible for us to have fellowship with God. And these are additional aspects in addition to fellowship, of purposeful prayer. And I say that because our main goal, remember, is to glorify God, and aspects of our prayer, that there are different things we pray, and those, if those things need to contribute to our overall goal of bringing glory to God. And so I just listed a bunch of additional ones with their references, but we ask for provision. We ask for God to provide. We ask for deliverance or protection and from trouble. We ask for relief from anxiety and fear and expressions of thanksgiving to God. We talk to him when we need to confess sin and repent, and when we yearn for the salvation of unbelievers. And then to see believers grow. Those are aspects of our prayers. I'm sure there's a lot more that we pray for. I hope there's a lot more. Those are just some examples. And the idea is to keep all those in line with our ultimate goal of how does this bring glory to God? How can we ask for these things or pray these things and remember that we're desiring these things like God's desiring these things for us to bring glory to him. This this is just like a little model that I have found helpful. I just call it the ACTS model. And we'll kind of just go through each one of these a little bit. A stands for adoration. And adoration just literally means worship or to glorify and exalt God. As we pray, we're called to worship God in adoration. This could be through a song of praise to him, praying a psalm of worship, declaring his attributes, or many other forms of worship through prayer. And just as we're going through this, just keep in mind, on the back, just there's some space to maybe write some things as you think about it, your own purposeful prayer, with this kind of grid, like A, standing for adoration. What is amazing to you about God? What part of his characteristics or attributes just give you a sense of awe? His holiness, his goodness, his faithfulness, his omni whatever, omnipotence and omniscience and all his omnis, right? He's all wise, all powerful, all good. And so as you're thinking about, just maybe start filling these in as they could give you a little grid to just think through and pray, help you pray later. A lot of scripture is consistent with this, and we'll look at one primarily here in a bit. Confession is, I don't know if you know this, so the primary area of confession, let's see, as in 1 John 1:9 says that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. So this confession in that sense, in that verse, if we confess our sin to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us. That word confession literally means to agree with. It means, God, I agree with your word that's convicted me that I need to confess that this is a sin. And so it's an agreement with God more than it's a audible word, just saying it out loud. You know, so you're agreeing with God that we are wrong and have sinned against him by what we have said, thought, or done. And so, I mean, this can entail a lot of things. God, I confess I'm weak, I'm frail, I didn't do as I, you know, I didn't, my goal all day was not to glorify you. You're just confessing with him in different areas, and there, believe me, there, I have found it that there is always something to confess in my life, and the day there isn't is the day that I am in glory with him. But in this life, there is always something to confess. And then Thanksgiving is just consistent. It's just being thankful. We know the Philippians text that through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God will rule in your heart. And so there's this with thanksgiving, make your requests be made known to God. This thanksgiving is not just what's coming up later this month. It is an attitude of gratefulness for everything God has done for you. He's forgiven you for the gospel, for everything, for breath and life. And then supplication is just our requests. It's a request or petition, our for mercy, leading, wisdom, for all the saints, like Ephesians 6:18 says. Prayers for all the saints, not just him. And so adoration, confession, thanksgiving, the Acts model. It's just a helpful grid to help you, to help with prayer. And I just want to look at the Lord's Prayer. We looked at it a little bit last week, but this is Jesus saying, pray like this. This is the model of prayer. And if we remember the first part of it in verse 5 and maybe another verse, it's saying, Jesus saying, don't pray to be seen by others. When you do pray, seek fellowship with your Father in private. Do not heap up empty and repetitious words, thinking they're impressive. But pray like this, Jesus says. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. So I'm just curious, I'm going to ask the question, do you see Acts, this model in the Lord's Prayer? Okay.
Oh, that's the adoration.
Yeah. So I don't know. I just kind of saw if it was in there. Verse 9, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
That's
right.
Pretty much adoration.
Right? Yeah. Your name is hallowed. Your name is glorious. Your name is perfect, set apart. You are holy. Oh, my goodness. Just hallowed be thy name. That is worshipful adoration of God. We honor him by admitting that he knows best and desire his will and his kingdom. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And this is just, that's supplement. You're asking him for this. You're requesting this. It's also adoration. It's glorifying because this request is glorifying to God because you're admitting his will is better. His kingdom is better than your kingdom. Verse 11, he is our supplier of needs and give us this day our daily bread. So he's the supplier. He's supplying supplication, thanksgiving. We should be thankful for even the smallest things. Verse 12, we confess we are forgiven sinners and should be forgiving people. So we're confessing that. We're agreeing with him that we are sinners. We're not dead in sin, but we still have remaining sin. We sin. We continue to prove we are sinners. And he is our protector and safety and solid rock. Deliver us from the evil one. So there's adoration, there's thanksgiving, there's confession in there. And then finally, just summarizing this, the immediate purpose of prayer, again, our thesis, our opening statement and definition of purposeful prayer is that the ultimate purpose of prayer is the eternal glory of God. So I'm going to ask you guys, what do you think? How are you feeling right now? Is our definition of the purpose of prayer supported by these aspects? And so these aspects, when you're asking them, are these in themselves glorifying to God? Is there a way to request these things in a way that brings glory to God? For your name's sake, God, deliver me, lead me, save somebody. Is that glorifying to God? God, make much of yourself by saving this absolutely lost person over here. You're the only person that can.
By trusting God, we're glorifying him. We're putting him in our lives. We are trusting him. We're bringing our attention to him. Because if we do the opposite of that, we're just thinking everything's expected.
Yeah. God, help me win the lottery. Why? Hey, that in so much is not sinful, right? God, help me win the lottery. I will open up orphanages for your glory all over the world. You know, money is just a vehicle to ask and request it. It's not sinful. The reason you want it can be. And so each of us have an opportunity to check our hearts as why we're asking things from God. God, give me a promotion at work. I'd like an opportunity to evangelize the next floor. Make more money to maybe have a family one day to bring glory to you through that. Just wanting things in this life is not sinful. Why do you want them, though? Is it to spend on, like James 4 says, you want things and you don't receive them because you want to spend it on your own passions. You ask and don't receive. And so are we asking to just spend and fuel our own passions for more? Or are we asking for things to bring glory to God? How's that, David? I'm getting a good look. You can pray to win the lottery, yes, but just for the right motive. To
see, I've always wanted to open up a restaurant and have no pain.
Open a restaurant for what?
No pain. Just
give me
food.
I mean, We could talk about that afterwards, but do you want them to not pay so they like you, or do you want them to not pay so they hear the gospel and give glory to God, right?
I mean, it's like, you don't pray to win the lottery, you pray to take away needs. Remove all needs. Like, that'd be so wonderful.
Mm, yeah. I mean, that's called heaven, I think. All right, so I don't know if any of you have been kind of jotting stuff down on the last page, but if anyone has, it'd be cool if you'd be willing to share. But this is just a final sort of. I'd like to. Oh no, don't access my camera. This is just a final. Just description of what the back is, the adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication, requests and petitions, please, for your name's sake, will you save blank? For your glory, will you help me overcome blank. To show that you're the best father and provider, will you help me with blank? You know, to show that you're the God and Father of all comfort, will you be what I need to get through this time in my life? Or fill in the blank. And then Thanksgiving, like, we as Christians have so much to be thankful for. It is just, we have so much. We have the most to be grateful and thankful for. And then your confessions are just what you're agreeing with God about. Are you fearful? Are you weak? Are you controlling? Prideful? Are you needy of things and not God? And just always remembering the creature-creator distinction, that we are always trying to become little gods of our own lives, aren't we? And we're always pushing and kicking against Him having reign and authority and lordship over our life. He is our creator. And yeah, that's just always an ongoing battle. Final thoughts? We will finish in prayer. Is that helpful, the Acts model?
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah? Cool.
I'm teaching Eliana how to pray.
Oh, great. Yeah.
And she'll start her prayer with what she wants, and then I ask her what to, you know, what are you thankful for?
Yeah.
Like, and I'll record them too, because I just love listening. But I think that I need to incorporate all of that with her. Like, the forgiveness part, if she's done something that she needs to be forgiven for. But what she's thankful for is, like, her teachers and Mrs. Piper's comfort. And I just love
that's great. Yeah.
Just precious.
Yeah. Yeah, I've been thankful for pumpkins for a long time, but just the simplicity of a kid's prayers is beautiful. All right, well, let me pray, and then, So, Lord, thank you so much for this time, and just thank you for your word that is just living and active, and it's sharper than any double-edged sword. It cuts down deep, and it discerns the thoughts, intents, and motives of our hearts so that we can be convicted of sin and we can confess that and repent and just put on Christ and become more like Him because of the work you've done for us through Christ on the cross and your Spirit that indwells us. And so thank you for this time and just reminder, the joy it was to just kind of put this together and just think about how prayer glorifies you. Lord, forgive us for seeking our own glory in so many different ways, and just thank you for your faithfulness to us through all that, even when we are not. And God, we want to be more like you, and we just pray today that your word will be effective as it's preached and changes us to be less like who we were when we came and more like you afterwards. And we just pray for the Sun River in general, the fellowship, the one another ministry. Lord, it's fun to see what's going on here, and just pray that you would continue to use each person in everyone's life as they are equipped by the pastoring and leading of this church for the work of ministry. And I pray that we would be a church that is bold enough to speak the gospel, the truth, and love to one another, and that relationships would be real here and not casual, that we would just have real deep relationships in your Son. And so I just pray that that would continue to happen even today as we corporately gather as your people at this church to worship you. And we pray these things in your name. Amen.